sport to me. It looked like an opening door to a world unknown, surrounded by figures, colors, elements.
What's up? Thanks for tuning in to Evolver Planet Radio.
Stereo elements now, creating sounds. Atomic energy helps a part of everything. Sound. Target astronomical light empowered space and time. Dreaming solid clarity, building blocks from stolen.
There's a little sample from Lissa and Julio, who are joining us later on the show, from Zen Bullock, and you are listening to Evolver Planet Radio. I am your host, Jonah Bolt, and also joining us on the air tonight is co-host Aaron Shaw.
Hey, Planet Evolver, this is Aaron from Los Angeles. So glad to be with you all.
And with Wendy Owens. Wendy will be doing more on-scene interviews, joining us next year. And 2012 is going to be awesome, so she'll be bringing us some interviews from on live, on the scene, out in the streets. So that'll be cool. We'll be patching her in from time to time and getting some more interviews with Wendy Owens. Today is Friday, December 23rd, 2011, and on the show tonight is music artists Melissa and Julio from Zen Bullock, and we'll be playing their music throughout the whole show tonight. That's what you're hearing in the background. You can check out ZenBullock.com, and they also have a SoundCloud. Cut out for a second. Now you could also check out their SoundCloud at SoundCloud.com/ZenBullock. And we also have some awesome updates tonight as well.
We're going to have a Spore City update from Dan Gooden in Sydney, Australia.
That is going to be awesome. And we also have someone else joining us from Sydney, Australia. That would be Stephanie South. And she's partner of Jose Aurelius, who wrote Manifesto for Noosphere, the next stage in the evolution of human consciousness. And it's one of the Evolver editions that's already been released. And she's joining us from the Down Under, Sydney, Australia. And I think she is joining us right now. Is that correct, Stephanie? You with us?
That's correct. I'm here. How are you doing,
Jonah? You're good. Welcome
good.
To the show. We also have Aaron with us as well.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Aaron. Hello.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and doing this second take, because we lost you last time. So appreciate you.
Yeah,
coming.
I know. Yeah, in fact, just so you know, there's been huge electrical storms here right now. So right now they're on pause. So hopefully they stay like that for the interview.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
it seems to have calmed down now. So I think it's going to be okay.
Well, that's good. We've been experiencing technical difficulties all night, so I'm not surprised. And
the whole world.
Absolutely. And let's get into that. Aaron, go ahead and start off with some questions for Stephanie that you want to ask.
Yeah. So you met Jose Arguelles after a series of dreams in which he demonstrated some psychic abilities to you. Is that right? How did you come to meet Jose?
And that is absolutely, absolutely right. My whole life I've been following the inner dream, and I was living in Portland, Oregon at the time, and I began having dreams of a man who I didn't know of Jose or who he was then, but he would come to me in my dreams and teach me about time travel. And I would meet him in places like Tibetan monasteries, or sometimes on spaceships, or sometimes just in different places with crystals, the King's Chamber. And I kept having these reoccurring dreams before I met him. And so then after that, I had a partner who was the head of a Buddhist center who brought me to the Whole Earth Festival in Davis, California, which Jose had started in 1970. That was in 1998, and I actually met him face to face there.
Wow. How long had you been having the dreams before you met him? I mean, I'm just like wondering, how was it to have your actual dream come true, especially a dream around such a dreamy figure like Jose Arguelles?
Right. Yeah, very powerful and very unexpected. Like I said, when I met him, I didn't know much of his work at all. Mm-hmm. But when I met him, I immediately felt a connection. And so I've been, and so one thing just led into another. In the past 10 years or so, I've been working very closely with him. And it's been, it just really goes to show that the inner dream is really, really surreal. And that's kind of the message that I want to put out to people, that the intuitions and the thing, when we just follow those, it leads to amazing places. And for me, it led me to Jose, but I felt it was a very distinal connection, or a very almost otherworldly, I would say.
So how did you embark on collaborating? I mean, what was your background? How did you two connect on a professional level?
Well, I was a writer. I was a journalist before I had met him, and I mean, I can only describe it kind of in a supernatural kind of way, I guess. When I right after I met him, something just clicked, and I began asking him a lot of questions. And so in 2002, just all of a sudden, we were sitting in a room, and every time we came together, it was like a channel opened. And so this channel, every day we would sit for 2 to 3 hours for 260 days straight, and huge downloads were coming through him, which we put into a 7-volume series called The Cosmic History Chronicles. So it's, you know, I know it probably sounds far out to to most people, but it's been quite a...
Not to us.
Yeah.
Quite a, okay, good. I didn't know what the listener base was, or is it okay to go far out?
Go as far as you want.
Okay, so yeah, it's been, and for that time, you know, since his passing, I've basically been on quite an inner journey. And so this, you know, like a lot of writing, a lot of meditating, a lot of exploring the inner world. And so with his passing, it kind of pulled me back out.
Wow. So can you share with us a little bit about the books that you collaborated on, and also a little bit about the most recent release from Evolver Editions, Manifesto for the Newosphere?
Sure. The Cosmic History Chronicles are, well, they're based on, say, the galactic Mayan time science, but they're basically re-envisioning different aspects of our world from a fourth dimensional viewpoint. And so it was a really a new voice, or say a higher dimensional voice, that came in, and we went through so many different. We covered you know, topics from art to cosmic science to the occult studies to initiation to just basically every topic. It was an all-consuming. It's been an my whole life for the past 10 years or so, and so that was that part of it. Now I know we want to get into the Evolver Editions and the Manifesto for the Noosphere as well. Should I go into that now?
Oh, well, I thought, you know, your whole body of work behind Jose Arguelles and even your collaborations alone is really interesting. You're also the author of his authorized biography, 2012 biography,
yes,
of a time traveler. And so I'm sure you can, you know, speak to your experience from many different perspectives in collaborating immediately with him, and also with, you know, contributing to his work and his ideas.
Right. Right. Well, I really feel from my time spent with him that he was definitely a multi-dimensional galactic channel, for lack of a better word, because his work, if you look at each, he's done an incredible body of work, which I think culminated with this. I think that the Cosmic History Chronicles were kind of a culmination of all of the pieces and things that he had learned over the years, but in a whole new context. But if you look at each one of his works, they're so distinctly different. Like Manifesto for the Noosphere is totally different than, say, his book from the 70s, Transformative Vision, or The Mayan Factor. They're all coming from a different channel or a different voice. And when he, you know, sitting with him, going through these transmissions, I could ask him any question, and we would just sit, and the answers would just come streaming through, and the whole time it felt like being in another world or in another dimension or elevated. So I definitely feel he had so many, he's a visionary beyond this time, so a lot of people misunderstand or don't understand the space that he was coming from, but I believe he laid out the whole context of our galactic future, our whole galactic culture, and the Cosmic History Chronicles are like the seedlings of a new galactic knowledge base that are meant for after 2013.
The seedlings of a new galactic, what was it?
Knowledge base.
A new galactic knowledge base. Okay, I'm so intrigued by this idea of examining our world from the fourth dimension, and it's like a challenge to wrap my mind around it, and I found the same in terms of reading about time in particular, and it just goes to show how, you know, ingrained I am in this 3D world. It is a leap for me and I think many.
Well, it's a huge leap. Because we're so, nobody teaches us these things growing up, but it's what we all intuit, and how I see it, or the easiest way that I can understand it or tell about it, is the third dimension. Okay, we can see everything we see around us. It's like the physical realm, the third dimension, but we all also live in the fourth dimension, which could be likened to your world of thought. Like, we're all thinking something right now, or we're all, you know, the world of imagination, the world where deja vu exists, or the synchronicities are, and then from that, say, fourth dimension, then you manifest it into your third dimension. But we're all also simultaneously living in this world of thought, or the fourth dimension, like the telepathic realm. Is that easy? Did I explain it simply?
When you talked about the dream state, that's something that I've always noticed myself personally. Like, when I was younger, I would sometimes tell myself in my dreams that this is only a dream. And what I got when I got older was that just common sense to me was more reality. And I would tell my friends that, like, dude, when you go to sleep and you shut your eyes, that's the real reality. And it was just common sense from those experiences.
That this is all, and like the Buddhists, or how the Buddhists say too, that this is all a dream, and when you're walking through it, just see the dreamlike nature of this reality. It's like we're all walking through the matrix, trying to navigate the best that we can. But I think that for the dream realm, you know, when I came into this, I didn't know about his work. I knew something intuitively, and so I had to go through a whole, it's been a 10-year learning process, and it's not been easy to rethink everything, I guess. Just kind of rethink the world, which I feel like is what we all need to be doing on some level, because we can see that this world is not, I mean, we're not, you know, totally satisfied with everything that's going on. And so I think each individually just starting to rethink the world, and also just keep really paying attention to your dreams, because I feel like there's a lot of the solutions and things are coming through our dreams right now, and just keeping that dream journal beside your bed and writing it down, that's what's helped me so much to understand a lot of things, is just really paying attention to what you're being shown in the dream.
Wow. How has your dream life spilled over? I guess you're kind of answering this with the whole interview. I'm wondering how your dream life spills over into your creative life, especially knowing that you're in a sort of reflective mood since his passing. I'm curious, have your dreams changed, or the way that you interpret them or use dream knowledge?
Yeah, well, he's been in a lot of dreams, especially lately too, and so they become more vivid. I've noticed that they're even more lucid now. I feel like I it's almost like sometimes I don't want to get out of bed because the dream is too good. when I go to sleep, and then you wake up and you're like back in this 3D dense world, you know. But yeah, they've become definitely more vivid. And like I said, I keep having dreams. He's in the dream, and he keeps saying, or telling me to pay attention to what's happening in the sun. And so I'm watching like what's going on in the sun right now. But I take all those cues and I act on them, and they've I feel like a whole other life is laid out for us in the dream if we can just take the time to tune into that, which is not always easy, especially in this world. We're bombarded with information all the time, and it's just so hard to sort yourself out. Unless you really have to give yourself that time.
Yeah, so I know you mentioned a dream journal. Do you have any other, you know, tips for how we might get more in tune with our dream world? How would we follow that advice?
Like your inner dream?
Yeah.
You mean night dream or your day, like destiny dream?
I don't know that inner dream is distinct from the dreams that you're having at night. I just wondered, right. You know, you mentioned the dream journal. If there are any practices that could help listeners get in tune with their dream worlds.
Right. Well, of course, you know, meditation, but it sounds so generic to say, oh, go meditate. That's what I know. But I find like creative meditation, not like you can, I think it's really important to do something that helps you clear out your mind first, because it's like, if you sit with your mind, it's so full of so many things right now. We're being bombarded more and more, even psychically, from every direction. So my feeling is, and actually what Jose really promoted was find your art or whatever gives your heart joy, whether it's, you know, it doesn't have to just be, it can be painting or music or things like that, but any, you know, cooking, whatever, go for whatever gives your heart joy, because on some level that's your meditation that's going to lead you into your dream path. Mm. And that's what I've found too, like whatever makes your heart open and whatever makes you feel like yourself, if you know what I mean. You know, you've had those times when you're in your room by yourself, or even as a child, and you really feel like yourself, and then you know what I'm talking about.
I think I do. It's so subjective. It's hard to put it into words. Besides, you know, being alone in your room, or just feeling yourself.
Yeah, feeling really connected with yourself, I guess, and that's what. So that's what I feel, and I feel like just in the world, everything that's happening, I feel like we've gotten so far away from ourselves, or from our true self, or from nature, or we're going in the opposite direction of reconnecting with the source or with nature. And I feel like more and more, like as the population explodes and the technology increases, and I mean, all of that on one level, like the internet and everything is really good, but at the same time, if we don't give ourselves that inner time too, I think we're not as happy.
Absolutely.
And Stephanie, I was going to ask you, when you talk about the time travel and all these different experiences you've had and different realities and dimensions that you visit consciously, unconsciously, what do you see, or what could you tell the Evolver Planet listeners of what's to come in 2012 and 13? What have you seen in your experiences for mankind?
Well, in my inner experiences, I've seen a lot of things, but I don't know collectively, like I don't know what's exactly going to occur for all of this. My feeling is that it's going to be according to our, what we all experience is going to be according to where we're at in our own mind or in our consciousness. Jose's put out a lot of, say, fourth dimensional tools to help you access these different states or different meditations, different practices and things like that. You can find them on www.lawoftime.org. But lately I've been dreaming of a lot of parallel universe types of realities. In fact, what was it, just a couple weeks ago, I had a dream. I guess it was a dream, but it was like I was in some parallel reality, but it was the new Earth in my parallel reality. It was the new Earth, and everything looked like this Earth, but everything was so less complicated, and all the colors were sharper and brighter, and I noticed that there weren't so many details to take care of there, like, you know, like having to like clean the house or all these little details that were always picking things up and all these papers and all that. There's like this feeling of wholeness, of wholeness where everything and everyone was interconnected. And then I looked up and I was thinking that, and I looked up and the skies were just like full of rainbows shooting out, and I saw how our mind was affecting all of this, or how we have the potential to create such beauty, and we really have that here on this earth if we just maybe as a collective shifted our priority and worked in that direction, which many people are doing. But I just saw like in our minds we're like these supercomputers that have barely been, you know, operated yet, or we haven't learned how to use our incredible apparatus.
Yeah, wow.
So that's, yeah, it's amazing. I feel like, you know, I know a lot of different people are going through a lot of really difficult experiences and things right now, and there's a lot of struggling and suffering right now, and I'm really tuned into all of that too on the planet, and just that I think, I mean, I don't know what you all are experiencing there, but are you feeling an acceleration, or are you feeling a shift?
Certainly.
Or does it just feel, yeah, I think everybody,
I would say,
feeling it in
I
their
would
own...
say definitely.
Yeah.
Some days you feel great and amazing, and the next day could be the total 180. And what I internalize that as is we experience that because how can I experience so much love and light if I haven't experienced the opposite side of the spectrum? That's how I internalize it. So when I feel down and feel like that, It's just part of me. How can I put out so much light and love if I've never experienced the bottom of the barrel and been there? And I have through my path and my life. So I'm great one day, and the next day you may not want to talk to me. I don't know. So I definitely feel day to day the energy is shifting and pulling us, stretching us, pushing us every day to maximize this school of Earth, school Earth, and that's how I look at it.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, I find if I'm having a bad day or feeling those feelings, I just think, gosh, how many other people are feeling bad today too? So how can I, you know what I mean? Just knowing that, you know, somehow knowing that, and knowing I've got to snap myself out of this so that I can, you know, be of some help or something, but just knowing, you know, I think that the struggling and the suffering, as far as I can tell, is really quite intensified. Everything's intensified at this time.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, even in terms of, like, what's going on around the world, I mean, I'm, like, 25 years old, and I just feel like I'm witnessing history, and like I'm wanting to journal and write and record and things, because I want to be able to tell people once things are radically different. Like I mean, I pretty much believe they will be. They almost inevitably will be with how things are melting down right now. I want to be able to tell people what it was like to live now and how, you know.
That's a great. Are you doing it? Are you journaling?
Oh yeah, I am. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. So it's almost like you're journaling and you're seeing this all as a memory.
Well, yeah. I mean, it echoes what you're saying about the need to be reflective, though, and to get in touch with your inner dream and being in touch with how things are melting down now. it's really an opportunity to think of how you want to change things in the future.
I think it's so important because it's like each of us is completely unique and has a unique energy that we're offering out, for the healing of everything. But each of us is totally unique, so we have to somehow figure out how can we connect with that inside of our own self, so that we can really be, so we can give that gift which everybody needs on some level, because there's no two, 7 billion humans, but there's no two energy patterns that are exactly alike. And so that's kind of exciting. So that means there really can't be competition or anything, because you're a totally unique being offering something that nobody else can offer. And I think that's such a comforting thing.
Yeah. And all the more reason to sharpen your consciousness.
Exactly. Exactly. Knowing that people actually need your gifts and need you to be connected with your own inner being. Because it's like there's so much inside of you that wants to get out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Stephanie, what's any upcoming projects or books or anything yet you're working on to tell the listeners, or website, or where they could find out some more information?
Yeah, they can go to www.lawoftime.org and find out our latest. And also we have something called the Crest 13 Project, which is different self-sustaining communities around the world being put together for the purpose of starting to practice these telepathic experiments to stabilize the planet, which is already beginning. Because it's like just starting to experiment with kind of group telepathic meditations to see how can we unify our minds? What can we do with our mind? I mean, to me, that's really exciting. To think about like doing these experiments. And so that's crest13.org, or it could be .com, but I think it's .org.
Excellent. And thank you so much for joining us, and hope to have you again on in 2012, and we'll definitely spread some awareness of some of the stuff and projects you're doing. Just keep us updated with that. And,
thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, Stephanie. That was awesome.
Okay. Have a great night.
And, all right. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, happy 2012. Bye-bye.
There you go, 2012. Bye.
Bye.
And with that, we'll tune into a little bit more of the Zen Bullock music. And when we get back, they'll be joining us live on the air. Here's some more Zen Bullock.
Digesting into
And welcome back, Evolver Planet Radio. That was another track from Space and Time album. We now have Melissa and Julio from Zen Bullock joining us on the show. You can check out zenbullock.com. But first, we'll give you a little background and bio on Zen Bullock.
Yeah, from their site, zenbullock.com, man is always searching for the meaning of life, knowledge, the answers to why we are here. Music is a powerful medium of communication. When words meet melody, a song is born. The cosmic sound of Zen Bullock wants to take the listener on a journey into the realm of the unknown. The electronic beats are the vessel carried on a sea of electric guitar, Rhodes piano riffs, trippy synth sounds, and glitchy algorithms led by Ing Zoltes, bluesy voice, and the sweet sensual harmonies of Melissa. Please welcome both to the show, Melissa and Julio from Zen Bullock.
Hey, thanks.
Hello, hello.
Awesome, thank you guys. And you're joining us from Cancun, Mexico.
Cancun, Mexico.
Awesome. So first, let's get into where'd you guys first come up with the Zen Bullock concept idea, and how did it manifest to the Space and Time album?
I guess me with Inksbolt, my music has always been very like abstract and instrumental, and Melissa hired me to like produce music for her, and I kept thinking of a name, and I wanted to do something symbolic, something that meant something. I have so many beautiful beliefs and so many things I believe in that I didn't have in my music, you know. I was listening to Bob Marley, and he has so many beautiful messages in his music that I was like, wow, I mean, if I die tomorrow, I mean, I don't really have any of my beliefs in my music, so I think that's where I got Zen Bullock from, symbolic.
Wow, awesome. And you guys just started basically working together a little less than 2 years ago?
Yeah, we actually met at the Ultra Fest in 2010. I was performing as a solo artist, but I needed like a DJ, so Inksbolt, his producer name, he did a little bit more of a tech house, you know, minimal tech kind of dance music. And then we met each other, and actually now we're a couple, for those of you that didn't know. And we just kind of kept evolving both emotionally and consciously, and our music. I think what's amazing about Zen Bullock is when I hear the words, it's as if, you know, Julio be in the studio, and it's as if he's getting messages definitely from a higher source.
Oh, I think we lost him again.
No way.
Oh, they've been cut out again. Oh, no. Well, that was Zen Bullock. We'll try to get them back. We've been having problems.
All the way from Cancun.
I know. Sydney, Australia sounded real good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the station's going to try to get them back. And in the meantime, just to give you the a little bit more of a background on Zen Bullock, Melissa was a studio singer, dance pop artist, and he was a minimal house producer. Julio, and they met at the Ultra Music Festival down in Miami. If you guys haven't been, I suggest you should check it out. It's one of the best festivals that I like. It's 8 days, over 500 music artists and producers. And we're back.
Hello.
All right.
Hello. Take two.
The forces of some other power are trying to make us cut off, but we will keep going.
There you go. So we're talking about your guys' music, where it came from, time travel, and where did you guys first get the concepts for the album, Space and Time?
Through our books that we were reading, basically.
Yeah, I guess through a lot of the books we'd been reading and things that we were experiencing right there in the moment, you know. I think that song, Space and Time, I made it in one day. Just one night.
Wow.
That's why I say it was like quite amazing. I would hear the music and I'd be like, where's, you know, how is he getting this information so quickly? And the funny thing is that here in Mexico, for a while, we rented a place on the beach, and we were on a protected, like a protected reef, and the energy there, it was as if we were like getting extra information.
No, yeah, the energy there and the information that you receive is beautiful. Like, it's definitely something very amazing. That's also in that place. We lived there for a year, and that's where we made like probably like 10 Zambolic tracks. So, I guess our sound now, we've been moving now. I guess, let's see what happens now. Like what our sound evolves into.
Yeah, I was listening to what you're saying again about speaking about, you know, some days we have amazing energy and some days, you know, you might feel a little bit more. It's funny, I wanted to interject on that and not speak about the music for a second. I actually saw it very clearly the other day, is that often we're channeling in other people's fears, you know?
Like, people have their certain fears, and they put their fears on you, you know? Like, you tell them, oh, this and that, and they're like, they tell you their fears, which
I think we lost them again.
No. Oh. We're back. Sorry about this, guys.
Oh, no worries. We've been dealing with it all night, so it's the energy, and that's what's so important when you guys talk about making your music when you're in a natural setting like that. You actually notice that the energy, the music is better, and that's so important now, especially in this upcoming year, is to be out in nature and listen.
Hello?
Yep, there you are.
We're here.
Huh.
Well, we're really happy for everything that you guys, with all the information you're putting out there.
Yeah, you're cutting in and out. And what's some upcoming new projects you guys are working on?
We have a couple of tracks, one called Milky Way, another one Talking with Fire, another one that Melissa here protagonizes, it's called Off the Clock, another one Invisible. We have a lot of different like subjects still to put out, but we're keeping this inside secret so far, only for live performances.
Nice.
Yeah, we have some different record labels interested, and we'll just keep making the music, and you know, pretty soon we'll be out there more and more and more, but you know, it's new cookies that were just being baked.
Nice.
And I feel very thankful for you guys' radio and everything you're doing.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and taking the time, and give out your information one more time to the listeners where they could find some more information on you guys and some more of your music, and where they could get some downloads from your music.
I guess right now, since we're still like looking to sign our album Space and Time, I guess we can't really upload any of our track for downloading because of we don't have the masters yet.
You can go to zenbolic.com. We have got some tracks running there.
Or also, if you go on SoundCloud, we have a couple of our tracks there for previewing.
Awesome. And you guys do also live performances. You have any upcoming shows?
Right now we're planning one next show for the beginning of the year, maybe the end of this year. We're still waiting for confirmation.
Here in Cancun. And then
excellent.
After that, we'll see where the boat takes us down the river. Hopefully we'll be in Canada, the US, you know. We're just starting out. You guys found us, like I'm saying, I'm really happy.
Yeah, like, well, this is very new. Like, it's crazy because, in July, at the end of July, we had our first.
I think we lost them again.
Oh my gosh.
I think we did.
Well, so they were saying they had plans for the new year. Awesome to hear. And that they are recording and that their music is evolving. They had their SoundCloud. It's soundcloud.com/ZENBOLEK, I think.
Yeah, and, -BOLEK, yeah. And, well, guys, thanks for coming on the show. Sorry we lost you again. We'll have
you
back.
I would have loved to ask more about how he channels music. It's just a channeling kind of night, I guess.
I know. We've lost every guest so far. I don't know what's going on. That's four guests. So with that, I guess what we'll do is we'll go to the other interview that we have with Dan from the Outback. And I got that a couple weeks ago with Dan while he was out there before he went on an excursion. So with that, let's go into the pre-record track, and then we'll come back and wrap up the show. So enjoy this interview. This is the Sport City Update with Dan. All right, and now joining us on Evolver Planet Radio all the way from Sydney, Australia, we're going to have a Spore City update from Dan Gooden. And also joining us later on the show will be Stephanie South from Sydney, Australia. So we're so lucky to have both of you on the show. And with that, mate, how you doing, Dan? Thanks for joining us.
G'day, mate. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So first, let's jump right into how you first got started with Evolver.
Well, I came into Evolver through Daniel Pinchbeck's books, specifically Breaking Open the Head. I first read the book 5 years ago and enjoyed it, but it didn't really break open my head. I reread it maybe a couple of years ago now on a trip backpacking around Chile in South America with my partner. And on that trip, it really, with all the time to think traveling, it really had a much bigger impact on my life, and I sort of wondered what he was up to now. I did a bit of a search, came across Reality Sandwich and Evolver. And then back in Sydney, maybe 6 months later, a friend of mine just turned to me and said, hey, we're thinking of starting an Evolver Spore. Are you interested in that? Which blew me away because we hadn't previously discussed Evolver at all, yet it was something I would have been very keen to do. At the time, I was running a little weekly group for conversation anyway, and the Evolver Spore was going to be a much bigger opportunity to do that with a group of people. So
nice. So you basically, you had known about Pinchbeck with some of his books, and then by just talking to some friends, they had brought it up to you, and next thing you knew, you guys were meeting. And tell us about somehow the meetings that you guys have. How have the Spore meetings been going that you guys been having in Sydney?
So it's been a progression. At the very beginning, it was just five of us sitting in someone's house, watching a video and just sitting around having a bit of a chat. We moved to an inner city warehouse and we started having much bigger spores from like maybe between 20 to 30 people. Over time, though, the attendance has become more sort of regularly around 10 to 15 people at a spore. But whenever we run a spore that involves shamanism or psychedelics or some of the really fun, interesting stuff, we can get anywhere between 40 to 60 people.
Wow.
On an evening, typically, most of our spores have a structure of, there's three sections. We always start with some sort of meditation just to open the space and ground everybody, and that typically lasts 5 to 10 minutes. We then have a bit of a main event, whether that be like a speaker that's related to the topic or a workshop run by one of the other sporganizers, or we might even watch a movie. And then the last section of the night, we typically have a facilitated group discussion, which can go from 45 minutes to up to an hour and a half, depending on the intensity of what's being discussed. So typically the whole thing runs for about maybe three and a half hours with just casual catching up at the end.
Nice. And we've noticed that here too, that usually every time we actually have a spore meeting, they run like three, four. The last one we did was like four, almost 4.5 hours.
because people just get, you know, excited and they want to get into the conversation of stuff that usually we can't talk about with other people. So, and one of the things that I also wanted to bring up, because it was funny to me, when we first spoke the other day, you had brought up how you've heard about different sport organizer groups that we do here in the States, and it's a little bit different, including like DJs and stuff like that. How are your different spores different from the ones we do in the States? How do you see that different?
Yeah, it's really struck me because reading about how the spores are in the States, there's a lot about parties and DJs, and it's very sort of event-based, whereas what I've noticed here is typically it's less about socializing and more about group exploration. And I've been wondering why that is the case, and I think the bit of the theory that I have for that is perhaps... So we have, within the Sydney Spore, there's a core group of maybe like 5 to 7 people, and we all met about the same time and we all started putting on the Spore at the same time. But through the Spore, we built really strong relationships around the Spore, and we sort of socialize really regularly as a group of friends now. And the Spore is us doing something different because we're socializing regularly, doing something different is coming together to explore ideas and aspects of reality as a group rather than socializing. So that's what I have a sense of. If it was just to be socializing, it would be just another party for us, which we already have frequently. So doing something different is what I guess we're doing with the Spore.
Yeah, it sort of makes sense, because when I think about, I have a few Australian friends I told you about that live in Sydney and other parts of Australia, and it seems that maybe the West is more open about these topics, where we could publicize dance parties and really get out there to the public and maybe not get that much feedback from the community. It seems that Australians are a little bit more reserved about this topics. Would that be right or accurate?
Look, I think so. I think it's definitely there's a smaller community of people. We're a smaller country, and it's probably a less dense culture. I feel if we were to put on events that were more dance party orientated or just more sort of fun, there's already quite a few different subcultures here in Sydney that where we wouldn't be appealing because they're not into that sort of thing. You know, there's the goths and kids who love free dance parties and stuff like that in a more sort of grungy setting rather than the entheogenic consciousness expansion type of angle.
Gotcha. So it's more like the people out there that you found with your friends, you just really want to get down to business, you know, home and meditate, ground yourself out and really get to what's going on with the shift, what's going on with your minds, and really just focus on the important stuff because there's always parties going on.
Look, I think you've said that beautifully. There's enough to keep people happy and having fun. So for most of us in the group, this is a need which wasn't being met. We wanted to find a group of people where we could really explore these ideas and imagine how different culture and the world could be.
Sounds good. And one of the things also I wanted to bring up, because this is something when I first started talking by email, you had shared with me one of your projects you're working on, and I've checked out the website, and it's amazing. I really hope that this really gets out there, and we'll definitely put a link up for it on Evolver Planet Radio, and that's your Shared Earth project. And basically what you've created is a social network for humans to build trust and share possessions and skills, helping us rewrite our cultural and economic stories to reflect our emerging experience of universal integration. Amazing.
I've been heavily inspired by Terence McKenna's ideas around language creating reality. Heavily inspired by Terence McKenna's ideas around language creating reality. And this is sort of my attempt to try and create a different story around the way that we relate and coordinate with each other. So the site is based around gift culture, and it's really about sharing and coordinating ourselves as a community and giving people the experiences of communal culture and collective cooperation and all that sort of stuff. And I feel like through having those experiences and through interacting with websites that sort of lead us through the steps in those sorts of process, we'll start to shift hopefully our consciousness, which will then lead to our culture shifting. I really believe that we can make our reality whatever we want. We just need to find the right ways to say it and go about doing it for that to happen.
Absolutely.
So it's more of a project around cultural change than a technology platform, really, which it happens to also be.
That's awesome. And also another guest we have, Barbara Alice Mann. She had wrote today a thing about the gift economy, tainted gift, that pretty fits your model that you're looking to do too. So that might be someone you want to check out. And give us the website. It's what is it?
It's sharedearth.net.
And you could sign up there and have access to just the Sydney community, or have you grown to other countries yet? How exactly does it work?
Look, it's in beta at the moment, and it's sort of invitation only, but people can visit the website and they can request an invitation, and I'm distributing them as fast as possible. Because it's a social network, it's not really geographically based. It's more based on the people that you connect to and the communities that those people hook into. In the same way, Facebook isn't, you don't have to be in a particular place. It's just around human connections, which I think is way more powerful than just looking at geographical locations.
Sure. And before we go, tell us about some upcoming events that you guys have. Do you have any big events for the holidays or any upcoming things you want to put out there?
We have a Spore picnic, basically just a bit of an end of year celebration and just hanging out in a park, enjoying our southern hemisphere weather. Beyond that, nothing concrete yet, a few ideas floating around. I think a number of us would love to get some films screened and just get the word out there a little bit more that there is a culture of people here in Sydney that are interested in changing the world, making it a better place.
Awesome, and that's what's up. And for all the Sporganizers and listeners hearing this, you could check Dan Gooden, G-O-O-D-N, on Facebook and friend him and link up and check out his website, sharedearth.net. And Dan, thank you so much for coming on all the way from Sydney, Australia. I appreciate it.
Been a pleasure, mate.
And welcome back to the show. That was the pre-record with Dan from Sydney, our second guest from Australia tonight from the Down Under. And with that, that's the show. Sorry for the technical difficulties throughout the show. It's definitely the psi energy, or whatever you want to call it, is definitely in the air tonight. And have a happy Christmas, New Year's, and everything coming up. 2012 is going to be awesome, so I'm very excited to step into it. And any final thoughts, Aaron?
Yeah, well, be sure to tune in next week where we're going to have Sobe Wing, who's the organizer of Evolver in Vancouver, and also a really interesting rites of passage facilitator. And also, we have an interview between Evolver Baltimore's Robin Gunkel and experimental 60s poet Anne Waldman. She's really radical and somebody you really want to hear from, especially right now.
That's what's up. And with that, always check out EvolverPlanetRadio.com as well as Reality Sandwich and, of course, Evolver.net to stay connected, stay focused, and be aware. With that, Evolver Planet Radio, thanks for tuning in. Here's some more of Zen Bolick.
Like
Digesting into cosmology, evolution of a universe.